today, I want to start off talking about kind of a random thing. The other day I was on YouTube, this video came up, and I just couldn't help but click on it. Life regrets of people over 100. And I thought, well, what do people regret when they get to that age? I'll tell you one thing that no one mentioned through the whole video, all the regrets. No one mentioned, I'm so regretful of that time I was loving to someone else. Of that time I forgave somebody. No one regretted that time I helped somebody who didn't really deserve to be helped. No one regretted that time when I made a big sacrifice for someone else. No one regretted ever doing something loving. And so it begs the question for all of us today, like, how do we do more loving things? So I've got three things I want to do today, work towards that, becoming more loving in our actions. So the first thing we're going to do, I'm really excited about. Normally in sermons, we don't get to do something. Normally you just have to sit there. Today we get to do something loving right off the bat. So that's awesome. And then we're going to look in God's word about the timing that God's going to provide for loving, which is also exciting. The final thing we're going to talk about, I'm going to have someone help me on this one. They're going to help us get the right mindset, because most of us want to be more loving, but we have a hard time with it. So they're gonna help us click into the right mindset so we don't miss it, okay? So that's where we're headed today. We're going to start, like I said, a chance to do something loving. So I want to invite Pastor Douglas and Pastor Josie up on stage. So, yeah, come on up. And we have been talking for a couple months now about Kairos Church. It's a Hispanic church. And we voted just a couple weeks ago about hosting them here while they're trying to get back into their building on Truman and Ash. And so the next year or two, they're going to be meeting here at Maywood in the afternoons. And so I wanted to talk to Pastor Douglas, their lead pastor, and his wife, Pastor Josie, about their church and about Maywood and our connection. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into this conversation. Jesus, I thank you for the conversation we're about to have. And I pray you would bless our friendship between Maywood and Kairos. Jesus, I thank you for who you are. Come and show us how to love like you love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thank you guys for coming today. And so Pastor Douglas speaks Spanish and English. I speak some Spanish and English. But Josie speaks both better than either one of us. So Josie is going to be doing the translating for us today. So Pastor Douglas will be in Spanish and I'll be in English. So first, just tell us how this connection happened between Maywood and Kairos.
Damos gracias a Dios de estar en este lugar.
We praise God for being able to be here this morning.
Es un privilegio para nosotros que hayan abierto las puertas de su iglesia.
And it's a great privilege that you allow us to be here and open your doors for us to be here.
Pues fue mucho tiempo de oración.
We've been praying for a long time now.
Y tocamos muchas puertas.
We knock on many doors.
Hicimos muchas llamadas.
We make several phone calls.
Nadie abrió puertas.
No one opened doors.
Nadie contestó llamadas.
No one answered phone calls.
Hasta que Dios nos puso en el camino contigo y tu liderazgo y la iglesia.
Until God allowed us to meet Pastor Jake and the rest of the leaders in the church.
Yo decía en la mañana hace un rato. Yo decía en el primer servicio en la mañana.
I was saying this morning in the first service.
Ahí en el cielo estaban platicando los tres.
I'm pretty sure that in heaven all three of them were planning everything.
Y esperando que se diera esta conexión.
And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit waiting for this connection to happen.
Y así fue como llegamos aquí.
That's how we got here.
And so tell us a little bit about Kairos Church and what you guys want to do in this neighborhood.
Llegamos en el 2005 a Independence.
We came to Independence in 2005.
Empezamos la iglesia de Kairos, mi esposa, una hermana y sus dos niñas.
We started Kairos Church and my wife, another sister of the church, and her two daughters.
Veníamos con el sueño de alcanzar al que no conoce de Jesús.
We had a dream of reaching out to the community, especially those who do not know the Lord.
Nuestra iglesia creció.
Our church started to grow.
Nos venimos para esta área.
We came to this area.
Y Dios ha sido bueno.
And God has been good.
Y algo que lo que decía hoy en la mañana es que nosotros no podemos hacer discípulos si no ganamos a la gente que no conoce de Jesús.
We cannot make disciples unless we win the people that we're going to disciple.
Y estamos aquí con respuesta a la gran comisión.
And we're here answering to the great commission.
De hacer discípulos, hacer discípulos para Cristo.
To make disciples for Christ.
Y eso nos tiene aquí. Eso nos tiene aquí en esta comunidad.
That's what we are here in this community.
Hay mucha necesidad.
We know there's a lot of need.
Y la única manera de hacer discípulos para Cristo.
And the only way to make disciples for Christ.
Es alcanzando el que no le conoce.
Is reaching out to those who do not know the Lord.
Los alcanzamos.
We reach him.
Les presentamos a Jesús.
We present to them the gospel.
Y empezamos a hacer los discípulos.
And we start building them and helping them become disciples of God.
Lo que dice Mateo 28:19.
Just like Matthew 28:19 says.
Awesome. So, really excited for you guys here and. So we're talking in our sermon series right now about this idea of Kairos and the timing of God. Your guys' church name is Kairos. So talk us through, explain to us what Kairos is, why that is your guys' name.
Kairos es el tiempo justo de Dios.
Kairos is the right time of God.
Nosotros tenemos dos tiempos, el Cronos y el Kairos.
We have the Cronos, which is our time, and Kairos.
El Cronos es nuestro tiempo.
Our Cronos is our timing.
Es cuando nos levantamos para ir a trabajar.
When we get up to go to work.
El tiempo que tenemos para comer.
The time we have to eat.
El tiempo que tenemos para bañarnos.
The time we have to take showers.
El tiempo que tenemos para estar con la familia.
The time we have to be with our family.
Ese es el Cronos.
That's our timing,
Cronos. Es nuestro tiempo. Pero el tiempo de Dios.
But God's timing.
Es aquel por el cual tú y yo estamos aquí.
Is the reason why both of us are here today.
Kairos quiere decir oportunidad también.
Kairos also means opportunity.
Yo puedo decir lo que es la oportunidad que Dios nos ha dado a todos.
So I can tell you that it's a great opportunity that God has given every one of us.
De conocerle.
To be able to know him.
De que él nos dio una nueva vida.
And that he can give us a new life.
Que hay oportunidad para nosotros y nuestras familias.
Opportunity for us and our family.
Para nuestra comunidad.
To our community.
Que la gente sepa que hay un tiempo específico de parte de Dios para cada uno.
That people know that there's a specific time from God for every one of us.
Yeah. It's good stuff. A couple weeks ago, we were talking to Pastor Douglas, and you were talking about a few years ago, you guys had to leave this neighborhood, but how you feel like it's God's timing that has brought Maywood and Kairos together now. So explain that. Why do you feel like it's God's timing that we're being brought together right now?
Creo que Dios le da visión a las personas que saben que van a saber desempeñar esa visión.
I believe that God will give you a vision when he knows you're going to be able to go ahead with that vision.
En el corazón de Dios está la gente.
In the heart of God is the lost, the people that are lost.
Por eso en Juan 3:16 dice que le envió a su hijo.
That's why John 3:16 says that he sent his son.
Para salvar a la humanidad.
To save humanity.
Algo que me llamó la atención cuando estaba hablando con el pastor Jacob.
One thing that I like when I started to talk to Pastor Jacob.
Es que él mencionó Mateo 28:19.
Is that he mentioned Matthew 28:19.
Y ese es uno de los textos que también es clave en nuestro ministerio.
That's one of the scriptures that is a key in our ministry.
Ir a todas partes.
To go out everywhere.
Yeah. Y cuando llegamos a la comunidad.
And when we first came to this community.
Nuestro edificio está media mía de aquí.
Our building is about half a mile away from here.
Pensamos en que iba a ser un tremendo desafío para nosotros.
We knew it was going to be a great challenge for us.
Pero perdimos nuestro edificio.
But we lost our building.
Y decía, ¿dónde vamos a tener nuestra iglesia?
And I asked myself, where are we going to do this? Where are we going to have our church?
Éramos como unos 500, tal vez.
There was about 500 of us.
Y ¿dónde vamos a buscar una iglesia donde entre tanta gente?
And my question was, where am I going to find a church that's going to be able to have so many people?
Y nosotros pasamos por esta, siempre por aquí.
We would drive around here all the time.
Nunca nos imaginamos que iba a ser aquí.
We would never imagine there was going to be here.
Y yo creo que cuando Dios da una visión grande,
so whenever God gives you a great vision,
a un siervo,
to a servant,
a una iglesia,
to a church,
porque hay una comunidad que necesita ser alcanzada.
It's because there's a community that needs to be reached.
Dios pone a las personas adecuadas a tu alrededor.
And God will work out and put the right people next to you.
Que tengan esa misma mentalidad.
That had the same vision he gave you.
Ese mismo desafío.
The same desire and accept the same challenge.
Nuestra comunidad se está perdiendo.
We have the community out there is lost without God.
Y tenemos que levantar la voz.
And we need to raise our voice.
No importa quién sea.
It doesn't matter who they are.
No importa cuántos seamos.
It doesn't matter how many.
Pero si todos nos unimos,
if both of us work together,
vamos a hacer la diferencia.
We're going to make a great difference.
Uno es él.
He's the one.
Y nosotros debemos de ser uno.
And we should be one
y
as
si
a
nos
church.
Unimos,
and if we work
vamos
together,
a hacer cosas grandes
we're going to get great things for God.
Yo creo que por eso Dios nos tiene aquí.
And that's why he brought us here.
Y nos encajó con Maywood.
Yeah, it's no accident. Our vision passages fit so well together. We have two passages here. One of them is their Great Commission that they are talking about, that they are called to do. And if you've been at Maywood for a while, you remember Marcy translating services into Spanish years ago, and it never took off. And we've tried to do Neighborhood Network, and we prayed for that to turn into something. Two ladies from Neighborhood Network came into my office. That's what started the whole conversation with Pastor Douglas. And now we see God moving in this big way. It is Kairos. It is God opening an opportunity for us together. And they're a Nazarene church. We're a Baptist church. We're serving Jesus in this community, bringing people to Jesus together. Yeah. Yes. So Lester on the front, I'm going to ask you a favor. There's a table right around the corner here with a little contract on it with a clipboard. Can you bring that up here? So we voted as a church, and they voted as a church because that's how people do things. But we haven't actually signed the official agreement yet to say the next couple of years, Maywood's opening their doors for Kairos to meet here Sunday afternoons, Thursday evenings. Their youth's going to meet here on Fridays. I don't even know all the stuff that's on there, but there's the contract on there. And Becky, I think, is here somewhere to notarize this. I don't know where you're at. If you want to come on up for that. So that's what we're going to do right now. We get a chance to do this together as a church. So I'm going to invite. Becky said she doesn't need to see our IDs. We're okay. We'll check out. So, thank you, Becky. It's official. Okay, so thank you, guys. Yeah. So none of us at the end of our life are going to think, oh, I regret that Sunday where we got to do that thing with Kairos. None of us are going to say, I regret that time we opened up our church and were generous. So we got to do something loving, and we all have a taste for, like, I want more of that in my life. I want to do that more. Kairos is this word we're talking about. Now, this is an English spelling. It's a Greek word. Spanish, it has a Y in it. But Kairos, the opening of an opportunity. When God gives you an open window, a chance to do something. When God's working and he says, why don't you work beside me? Pastor Douglas was talking about it's different than Kronos, which is kind of our schedule or our time, our plan. Kairos is God's doing something and he says, hey, do you want to join me right now? It's an open chance to do something. So here's a verse where Kairos is used, that actual word. It's Romans 13:11. And do this, understanding the present time. That phrase there, present time, that word is Kairos in Greek. So he's saying understanding the opportunity, the window of opportunity where God's doing something and says, join me right now in this moment. Do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. So what Paul is saying at the end of that verse is, whether you're 5 years old today or 100 years old today, you have less time on earth today than you did yesterday. Every single one of us should view our life with a sense of urgency. And how much more, because of the present time, he says, God is giving us opportunity. So because God has given you an opportunity, don't waste today. Don't be asleep at the wheel, is what he's saying. Now, if you're a close reader, some of you out there might already be asking yourself this question about, like, but wait, Jake, like, what is this verse even talking about? Like, the first three words there says, and do this. So you read us this verse, we don't even know the context. We don't even really know what it's talking about. Yeah, we're supposed to be urgently doing something. We're supposed to see that God has given us an opportunity to do something. But what is the thing we're supposed to be doing? So verse 8 is where that picks up. So verse 8, if we go back, we get to see what that and do this is talking about. It says, let no debt remain outstanding except a continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Have any of you ever paid off a big financial debt at some point in your life, whether it was a car or a house or student loans? I can remember Christy and I a couple years ago, we paid off a big debt, and we went out and celebrated. We went out to dinner, you know, because it's such a big deal. Nobody has ever gotten to the spot in their life, though, where they should kick back and say, oh, man, whew, that was rough. I had to do a lot of loving of other people, but I've done it all. I've loved enough, and I'm done. I've paid it off. I paid off my love debt, and I'm going to kick back and be selfish. No one ever says that, but how many of us have reached that point even today where we think towards our spouse, I've done all I need to do towards my spouse. It's on them now. My debt is paid. I've done all my responsibility. Or how many of us treat a child, a son, a daughter of ours, or a parent of ours, we think, I've done all the loving I need to do to that person. I don't need to do anything else. How many of us treat a coworker or maybe people in our neighborhood? Maybe we think, like, I've tried to be nice to three or four neighbors. Nothing came of it, so now I'm done. I just go in my garage and never talk to people. This verse is directly against that. It says you never pay off owing, loving other people. We don't have time to go back earlier in Romans, but it tells us why we never pay it off. It's not because everyone else has been so good to you. So don't give yourself an excuse if you have a hard life or something. Nate, what it says is Jesus loved us so much even when we were still a mess. And that's why we owe love. It's because God gave us so much love. And one of the things he asked us to do, the primary thing he asked us to do besides have a relationship with him, is to love other people. So we have a debt to him. And the way we pay that debt back is we're loving to other people, okay? He's given us more than we could ever pay back, but we're expected to be loving to others. So here he's going to say it a little more, he says, the commandments, the things God tells us we have to do, such as you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. It's pretty simple. I mean, I didn't, you guys all knew this. You know, you didn't show up to church today for me to tell you this. This isn't a new idea. We all know the best way to live our life as a Christian is to treat other people this way, to love them like we would love ourselves, to give them the benefit of the doubt like we give us the benefit of the doubt. I was thinking earlier this week, one of the ways we can love people like we love ourselves, I typically think I'm worth listening to. I think I have good ideas. Imagine if you treated other people that way. Imagine if you listened as if they had something good to share or worth listening to. Like, you just start doing that. Like, oh, how do I treat myself? Well, when I'm hungry, I try to get the best food I can for myself. Well, what if you did that for someone else? Like, hey, you hungry? I'm going to try to get the best for you. Or what if you treated them the way you treat yourself? That's what it means. Verse 10 just kind of drives it home. Love does no harm to a neighbor. So if you've hurt somebody this week, you haven't been acting in love. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Pretty exciting stuff that we just read in Romans, isn't it? That God gives us opportunities to love. That you have an opportunity in the present time today that's special, that's kairos. You know, Pastor Douglas and his wife, Pastor Josie, they were looking for another place to meet 3 years ago. It wasn't the right timing for us, though. We didn't even know about each other. But when the timing was right, God brought people to us with this question, and it was real clear what God wanted us to do. And because we walked through that door, now we're at this moment today celebrating, and we get to see what God does in the future. So, yeah. So, if you've been tracking with me, we got to do something loving. Now we get to see God's promise that he's going to give us special opportunities to love. But I promised you something at the end that I couldn't pull off on my own. I promised you that the final thing we would do is I'd have somebody help us get in the right mindset. Because most of us try to be more loving, and most of us could do better, you know, myself included. So what stops us? What stops us from being loving? I think a lot of times it's an attitude of the heart. It's not necessarily even straight up evil, but it's an attitude that's a little off. So I was talking to somebody last week who was coming to our business meeting to vote about this Kairos stuff and opening the church. And as we started talking, they said something to me. They said, you know, I came to that meeting to vote no, to vote against it. And this person, I've known this person a while, very generous, kind person. So nothing against them. There were a lot of people who had concerns about what are we going to do? How's this going to work? But it begged the question to me because I knew the vote was unanimous. 46 people voted yes and nobody voted no. So I thought, if you came with the one purpose to vote no, then what happened? So I asked the person that. And they said that a couple people during the meeting had shared things that changed their heart. Which instantly, wow, that is something we should respect. That this person, I mean, is there any better attitude we could have as a human being than to have the attitude of I'm willing to change? When a Christian brother or sister says something, I'm willing to change what I thought based on what they said. I'm willing to change what I was going to do based off what someone else said. If we have a church full of people like that who are willing to meet together and let's figure out what God wants us to do, and when we figure it out, I'm willing to change my mind, that's God's going to take us places with that sort of attitude, you know? We don't have to all be right off the bat. We have to be willing to do what God wants us to do, and we got to be willing to listen to each other. So, anyways, one of the persons she mentioned by name who had said something during the meeting that changed her, I thought, well, let's have him come talk. Maywood doesn't need to hear it from me. So, Dean, you shared something at the business meeting, Dean Deason. Dean, will you come up and tell us what you shared?
During the course of the business meeting, there were a lot of questions, like Jake said, and You know, I was sitting there, I'd already knew how I was going to vote when I came in here. But, you know, there's always situations where people come in prejudging what they think is going to happen. So I was sitting in the pew as some of these discussions were going on, and I just felt something overcame me, and it was just, and I felt this way inside for a long time, and I try to live the life that way. But everything that I have or had is God's. My car, my money, everything. And out of everything, this church building is God's. It's not ours. God allows us to be here, to worship here. And God's opened doors for a lot of things, and this is a wonderful opportunity. I could sit here and watch Pastor Douglas's face, look at his countenance on his face, and he is so excited that we've done this. Well, you know, God has done this, and we need to give God the credit for changing people's hearts and changing people's minds.
What Dean shared there was an attitude of, instead of saying, this is mine, what should I do with it? Saying, God's given us this, what should we do with it? Now, there's a lot of good-natured people that still go through life thinking, this is my car, or this is my money, or this is my time. And the problem is, even though they might not be a jerk, they're not very outgoingly generous. They have to kind of build it up to be generous, you know? It's uphill for them to be loving because they're trying to take care of themselves. But if you have the attitude that Dean shared of, what I have is a gift from God, then it's not so uphill. You're not holding tightly. You're open. And so you can give to other people, and God can easily give to you too when you have that attitude, because you're not clenching things. If you're here today and you're like me, you need to hear what Dean's saying, and you're thinking, today my time is not my own. It's a gift from God. And if God gives me a Kairos moment where somebody needs help, I was talking to another Maywood person earlier today who went out and helped someone get a prescription a couple weeks ago after church. And the ride situation didn't work out. And then what this lady said is, she said, yeah, the ride didn't come like we had hoped it would come. So she didn't say, so it was a real drag and I was late and blah, blah, blah. What she said is, so I had a chance to talk to her more about her relationship with Jesus, and it was really good. She saw what happened as an opportunity. I think that's sort of loving attitude. It comes when you view things as a gift that God's given you. And you still have to be wise. And a lot of Maywood people, when we were talking about Kairos, they were trying to be wise about, like, how is this going to work? You still have to figure out the right way to do things. But start with that attitude of, what I have is a gift from God. And what we read in Romans, it's a gift that God's setting you up to do something with. So we've talked about a few things today. I've got one more slide for you, and then I'm going to pray a blessing over you. We talked about, now is the time to love. We got a chance to love Kairos, to make a loving commitment to them. We get to read God's word and see a promise that he's going to give us Kairos. He's going to give us opportunities to be loving, to pay back some of that debt that we owe him. Not that we ever reach up to it, but that we get to do the sort of things he wants us to do. And then Dean gave us, how do we have the right attitude so tomorrow we don't miss the opportunity that comes our way? For this attitude of viewing things as a gift from God. So here's the last slide before I pray us out. So it's Super Bowl Sunday, and people are thinking about football. Let's think about football just a little bit. And let's picture that you're the quarterback, okay? So the ball's snapping to you. And it's a passing play, okay? Now, when it's a passing play in football, the quarterback gets the ball. The other 10 guys on his team are all working as hard as they can to give this guy Kairos, to give this guy a little window of opportunity. So you got the offensive linemen that are pushing with all their crazy girth and strength. They're pushing that just to give him a little more time to see. And you got a fullback back there just waiting to fill the gap for whoever gets through a blocker first, okay? And you got different wide receivers and tight ends. Some of them aren't even hoping to get a pass. They're just out there trying to distract the defense. They're trying to open up things for other people. You got this whole team effort, and if you're at a competitive level like the NFL, it might be just for a half step or a half second of opening. And that quarterback has to see it and put the ball there with no hesitation for the Kairos to be worth it. Now imagine if you're a quarterback and if you look at the field, it looks like they might even be in the end zone right here. It's hard to tell, but it looks like end zone paint there. If you're back there and like, oh, this is so much pressure. I have the ball. It's my precious football. And we're down, you know, at the end of our side of the field. What if you just held onto the ball because you didn't want to lose it? Yeah, getting like, well, that's the wrong. You're not going to be quarterback for long with that attitude. I wonder, with the football that God gives us, like, does God want us to be quarterback for very long? When he gives you stuff, when he hikes you something, do you just hold on to it until you get tackled? Like, I'm just gonna greedily keep this to myself until I get thrown to the ground. Or are you looking for where's the opportunity to pass this good thing I've been given? Where's the opportunity to give this good thing to somebody else? I'm looking for that kairos, that little window of opportunity. What Romans promised us is understand the present time. It's time to wake up because the opportunity is here. So here's my challenge for you. You've got the football today. Don't wait. By the end of the Super Bowl today, do something loving for somebody else. If it's halftime, you don't get to watch Justin Timberlake or whatever if you haven't done anything loving yet, okay? Like, go, like, oh no, it's almost over. Like, I got to get done what Jake said. Like, I got to go get guacamole for somebody I don't like or something. You know, like, I gotta do something loving before the game's over. Because I bet today you'll have an opportunity that you won't have tomorrow. And I bet Monday you'll have an opportunity that you won't have Tuesday. And I bet Tuesday you could do something else. And guess what? If you get to the end of the week and you've done even just 7 Kairos-type loving acts, I bet you'll think, like, whoa, this is the best week I've had in years. Imagine if you get to the end of your life and you start living your days like that. Here's my final thought. If you pass the love that God's given you onto somebody else today, you won't regret it. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray for us. You've already blessed us with kairos. You've already blessed us with opportunities to love. And so my prayer is that you would bless us with vision, that we would see the opportunity you're going to give us each day this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.